Welcome to the TechNori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, the CCO of the Mom Project, Colleen Curtis. This show is a very personal one to me because I'm in the middle of it. And I'm going to say this. I didn't really talk about it on the show with her, but I want to rephrase the conversation about parents in the workplace, moms in the workplace, because I just don't think people are getting it. And so where I come from on this one, I look at it, I go, I think we need to stop talking about just childcare and refer to it as parent care. There's a serious change that needs to be done both governmentally, economically, and in the businesses where we actually do things to help the parents, because the parents, it's not the company's responsibility to care for the kids necessarily, but it is their job to care for the employees who then can care for the kids. If we're trying to address the kids directly, it's not really workable. But if we can address the parents and make life easier for them, it is entirely workable. And I also think one of the parts of the conversation that's misrepresented is we're always trying to tell business owners and people, you know, and we did it on the show. We talk about the fact that there is a huge impact and opportunity for you to hire more better people because of the perks and things that you offer. And the perks are not tennis, you know, table tennis and beer. It's daycare and time away that's respected and dignity. But maybe if we rephrase the conversation, should we be saying, do we replace the conversation about parent and child care with the economic opportunity that is there? Actually physically saying how much money companies can make investing in parent care, how much money investors and people can make investing in companies like the Mom Project that are dealing with a $1 trillion+ economic opportunity. Maybe we're talking about this too emotionally and not monetarily, numerically enough so that people understand that the more money you invest in this, the more money you can make either as an investment directly into things like Mom Project or as the CEO of a company by not spending so much money to appeal to new hires or having to hire super young people because you know that they're not quite yet in the parent mode. And so you look away from the 30-year-olds plus, and maybe we invest in these kind of situations that help enable parents by giving them actual benefits that really can make a difference. And we talk a lot about that on the show. Before we go to the conversation with Colleen, we got to check in here for the Twitter poll, which is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. See why 65,000 businesses use ActiveCampaign for their marketing by signing up at activecampaign.com/technori. Get your first 2 months for free. The Twitter poll is pretty simple. How many of you are a working mom or a working parent? The Twitter poll is new, but I will tell you, it's 60% right now. It's a small sample size, but 60% is more than half. I have a feeling most people who are working and don't even know some of the people they're working with are have kids because it's just not talked about. So it is an opportunity that is much larger than it's being represented. So we talk a little bit more about that and many other things, as well as some great advice for me personally as to how to live through this first couple months of my life with a child. This is my conversation with the CCO of the Mom Project, Colleen Curtis. As I am about to record this conversation with you, I am getting text messages from my dear lovely wife who is walking our new 2-month-old baby girl Vivian, down downtown Glen Ellyn, passing a home that we would like to own at some point because it's a complete wreck, but the property is fantastic, and it's like, you can just see the project, and she's like, oh my God, they're cleaning the gutters, like, we need to write this letter to them. It's not for sale, by the way. We need to write this letter to them right now.
More complex.
And that's on top of the fact that I'm going to speak for her. I usually don't because I've learned my lesson, but we're taking in a lot of water. The ship is not the Titanic. I think we're going to get to the coast, but we're going to get there and walk right on land because the ship will be that deep into the water by then. And so, I mean, I figured who better to have on the show than the people behind the Mom Project?
Yes.
This is a show. My wife will never listen to she says she listens. I can see, I can tell if you tell them. She does not listen. This one, she will listen. So we're going to turn this into a constructive project to everyone, every mom out there and dad, and people who, maybe more importantly, those who are considering having children. And then all of the different folks out there, including my wife. And let's see if we can have a little bit of fun here.
Yeah.
So I want to first just thank you for coming in here. I'm thanking you ahead of time, both as my my psychologist for the next like 40 minutes or whatever, and for everybody else out there. So before we get into the, kind of your story and the whole nine yards, tell us about the Mom Project.
Yes, I'd love to. So the Mom Project is a digital talent marketplace, originally conceived as an idea to match highly skilled professional women with interesting career opportunities that allowed them to kind of stay in the workforce on their own terms.
Yep.
So built on the insight of 43% of women will step out of the workforce at some point after having children for caregiving duties, and that ultimately the economy and that businesses are suffering because of that.
Yep.
So could we fundamentally change those work structures and allow people to come back in their own terms and allow companies to reap the benefits of that?
I want to earmark right now and say that the last like nine words out of your mouth, we are going to focus on a lot.
Okay.
I want to add a little bit. We're going to start a fire here.
Okay, let's do it.
So I'm going to be honest. First off, this whole thing has like hit me in the face, and I was one of those people like, nah, you guys are stupid. This is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even doing 1% of the, I'm not. And I think people mismanage their time. I think that there's a lot of things that I think fights and stuff that happen because prior to having a kid, the couple doesn't air their grievances and say like, okay, here are my expectations and here's are yours. If to your point about the depression in economics, where my wife is going to take, and this is insane to me, by the way, for anyone listening who's in Department of Education, shame on you. She's going to take basically 8-week pay cut, which equates to more than 25% of her salary because it's based on the school year, not on the full year.
Yes.
And that is because we had a baby in May. Actually, June 11th, but like it was planned for, you know, end of May. And so she got the summer. You got the summer. Are you kidding? She hasn't left our house in 2 months. This baby and couple are not ready to go back. The baby itself is not ready to be let out of the nest.
Yes.
And by default, there's no excuse for them not to be FMLA.
For sure.
None.
For sure.
And so like that leads to the question of like, how are we going to be financially viable?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to buy that home we want to buy? That burden has to fall on in this case, the husband, but me, but it could be the other way around.
Sure.
And so with that means I can double duty as much as I can, but like you're not asking me to just go and clock in. I need to make more money than before to cover up. So I have to work more and be more creative, which means I need to sleep. I need to have energy. I need to do things. And I think couples don't talk about that ahead of, we fortunately did.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of couples talk about like, we're going to fight because you're going to be pissed that I'm downtown and most of my job is drinking, which is great. But like, we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
And it creates this huge problem. And so then that's one part. So I was completely unaware of all of this, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another thing, which I think every husband, every man in particular in this case, because the women are the ones actually having the child, the men really need to open their eyes and like pay attention, because I didn't ever think about this stuff prior to watching Jen go through breastfeeding and this whole thing. And then yesterday, I would bet you that I would have missed this every other time except for yesterday, except for now. I was watching the third hour of today because, you know, you got a wife and kid at home, so that's what's on. And I forget the name of the correspondent on the Today Show, but she goes, I travel a lot for work, and I went to Name Your Airline, and they would not let me bring my cooler for the milk that I need to pump during the 3-hour flight, because that falls during the time that I have to pump, because physically I will literally start milking through my shirt. Like something has to happen. And the guy says to her first, no. And then says, well, where's the baby? And she's like, where's the, what?
If I had the baby, I wouldn't need the cooler.
Yeah, like, are you stupid? And she ended up getting, you know, she ended up pulling the car like, well, by the way, this conversation is going to be on the Today Show in a week. But between you and I, maybe now's a good time to change your stance.
But not everyone has that, right?
No one has that. And so it just sort of hit me like, societally, we're not doing...
Incompatible.
We're not doing... It doesn't work. If you are a person who... And I try to think of like, we're really fortunate. I own my own company. I'm able to do things. Financially, we both have good jobs. But for those who don't, you lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do?
Right. It's a choice people have to make, unfortunately, and they're forced to make it.
And not to go, we'll keep it very brief on the political, but like, for the rich assholes that are sitting at the top of the pyramid who are going, they're raising taxes on me. You created it. You literally created a world in which half of the economy can't work. Mm-hmm. And they need, I mean, you're not going to pay them at work. You're not going to pay them to be, you're basically going to fire them and add them to the support mechanism, mm-hmm. instead of paying them for 3 months extra or 6 months or even a year. Like, yeah. Canada and all the other intelligent, you know, nations.
For sure.
What the hell are we doing?
I know.
What can we do?
What are we doing? It's so interesting because we get asked these questions all the time. Like, society has to change, right? Like, we all have to evolve the way we support working parents, or nothing will ever change, right?
Yes.
And so we'll continue to see the ramifications of a declining birth rate.
Yep.
People having kids way later because of financial reasons, choosing not to have kids at all, even though they want to have them. Because we've set up a society and a structure that is just incompatible with thriving parenthood.
Yep.
Because the support structures are not there. I mean,
and then they claim
crisis.
Family values in video games. Give me a break. Like, are you kidding?
Oh, I mean, it's
this show could be 4 hours long.
it's a crisis. I mean, it really is. Like, we have a childcare crisis where not only is it dual-sided, where we underpay the people who do take care of our children as a whole, and it costs us an arm and a leg.
And we don't pay them when
they
need
that. Somehow it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all the structures that are basically creating this firestorm where someone has to opt out of the workforce for some period of time to be a caregiver, whether it's your children, and then eventually for your own parents, right? So we have this whole sandwich generation that's also going
to
get
going to have to save for now, because I can't take on two crises at once. The boat is sinking.
You're 2 months in, though. It's going to get better, but it is acute period of time. My
youngest
is now a year. It feels a little bit better, but
on a scale of 100%, how much, but give me a percentage that gets better at a year. Give me hope. Be honest, too, because I can't deal.
I think it's 75%
better. 75%
better,
really.
I do. They're much more fully formed. They're less needy. Your wife will have had that amount of time to physically recover, emotionally.
Well, that's a whole
other
thing. We don't even, like, they're like, oh, we immediately skip the spot. Like, here, this is the one thing I saw that made me. I'll be honest. I burst out laughing because it was just so ridiculous. I couldn't. There's a story. I mean, there's a million stories. This I just happened to hear this. I had a surgery on my hand like in October, mm-hmm. and so I went to Athletico, and this guy Justin is a great guy. A little shout out for the Athletico in West Chicago. He was taking people who had back injuries and whatever, name your injury, and then there's some on the work side, and some were fake, most mm-hmm. were fake, some were real, and these people were given months that they could be on disability and other things, like, with no paperwork. I mean, it was like a signature and a bullshit story, and they were on home free. And we are like, oh, the baby. This woman just pushed a 7-pound object out of her.
The best analogy I've ever heard was, welcome to your life. You've just been in a car accident. You've just met this other small person that's also been in a car accident. You're going to go home in 2 days and take care of them. Like, good luck. And then you're just like,
Not giving any consideration to the child, let alone the mother. And then, like, this isn't even the emotional part, like the crying at commercials.
The
like
postpartum period.
What in the hell? And then that also has an impact on this on the other spouse, a fairly significant one.
For sure.
And I'll be honest, I'm having my own problems because I can't vent because I feel guilty venting about something that in my mind, compared to what she's dealing with, is so insignificant.
Sure.
That you're sitting there just like totally helpless. You're not even like, you're sort of dead inside because you're like, you can't be who you are. You aren't the couple you were and no one, it just gets worse.
It does get better though.
No, I mean, for relationship. Yeah. I mean,
yes, for the relationship too, it gets better.
But outside of us, the world is not welcoming a modern society.
It's really not. No.
And I don't like, what are some of the examples of like the mom project? Now, how can, like, let's try to take a couple scenarios out of my crazy little story here that you guys could start addressing or that you'd like to see addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I think you're feeling acutely is her workplace is not supportive. So they're giving like less than minimum.
They're going to carve out a room for her to pump. This is a school.
Just like, find a room, do it. It's like a mini fridge and a chair.
Really?
I know. I'm shocked that people don't get that better.
The people who go out and smoke cigarettes have better care.
Yes, exactly. Well, just it's making the accommodation where workplaces have not evolved to be more friendly to working parents in that ramp back period.
Yeah.
So not even talking about solving for parents of young children, which lasts for
or during
12
pregnancy
years, right? So you have an acute pregnancy period, which requires some accommodation. You have a postpartum period and return to work period that are very acute as well. And then you've got this parents and caregivers for 12 years. You have little kids, they're in school, they have different needs, different schedules. And so we look at, you know, can we work with these companies? We're not in any schools. Maybe we should be.
All of them.
She works
at the largest in the state of district, so you can figure
do
it
the
out.
Math.
Yeah.
But looking at, can we help them with their programming on how they support working parents? And obviously it focuses on moms and we're the mom project, but ultimately when dads do better in this period as well, moms do better.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, if your workplace is accommodating and you're able to have a flexible schedule to support your wife who's at home, or you have paid leave and you're able to take it, it's better for her. She feels more emotionally supported. She has help at home. She does not feel like she's in it alone. She's not feeling she's ramping back in. So we do help companies with that. We also help companies that really are struggling to retain. I mean, they can't afford to lose these 43%. These 43%, these are, you know, head of accounting, VP of finance, high-end operations, you know, these really important critical roles that have, you know, they're just hitting their stride kind of, you know, in their careers, and they're just stepping out because they're like, I cannot do this. Like, I cannot manage the way this feels to me.
Yep.
And I was not prepared. And so we've seen the companies that can truly commit to that, and it's not just bringing the women in, but having these programs that feel really inclusive and really are supportive, they're going to win. They're going to be on the right side of history, right? And we're benefiting right now from a very tight labor market, so they're being forced, right, to really evaluate how they're retaining.
But like, so I want to ask you about that, because and please be very specific and give plugs all day long on how they can work with you, because this show, in my Beyond Technori, my history of pods, well, I don't know, we're over 500 something. It's a lot.
Yeah.
All of the different companies, the number of companies who come on and then afterward, like, hey, you know, can you throw a plug in there? Because we're hiring.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, great.
Yeah.
What are your perks?
Yeah.
And then the perks are like ping pong tables, some free food, shit that no one, like, what?
Oh, yeah.
How much money do you spend?
I'm going to do a story about that. Like,
how much money do you spend on these companies?
In my own job search, I would automatically negate companies that listed those as a perk, because fundamentally,
you do not get it.
You do not get it.
Yep.
And you are missing out on this incredibly talented pool of people who have way more experience.
And it's not just women. That's the thing that people don't get. Like, if I'm looking at a company, like I've never really talked about this, but I have a non-profit-y thing in my back. It's sitting, the domain is owned, the concept is owned. It's all just sitting there. It's like, I'm a very strong believer in, you can't do big good things for people until you've done good things for yourself. You've got to have the financial means to be able to do it. And so it's sitting there waiting, but it is going to go.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is basically, if you don't create opportunities for families to be able to not just come work for you, but flourish.
Yes.
You're going to lose. And you're spending, I know companies that are spending $50,000 to $100,000, and these are not even the giants, which are obviously way more. Small startup-y companies, under 200 people, spending $50,000 to $100,000 a month on recruiting stuff.
Sure.
And not including the garbage that they offer as part of their perks.
Right.
If you had a daycare, if you had free hours Monday, Friday, that, like, you made it available for them to basically select time that they can log in remote, put in their, so they clock in, they're on time, they're working.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can track however you want, but the freedom to make it easier to drop the kid off in the morning, to pick the kid up, to accommodate, to offer student debt help, so that some of the money that I'm now spending on student debt can go towards, like, during this period of time, we'll take your student loans. You just do you. I don't know what your care costs are going to be. I don't know what your special needs are. So that's on you. We can help. If we are big enough, we can help there. But, like, what I can definitely do is, I can afford $1,000 a month. I can definitely pay for your student loans while you're doing this, to give you a break, like, just anything.
Just a sense of relief.
You would hire every single top tier person in the city, tomorrow, if you could tell them, if you work for us, I'll name it because I know that they're very good at this, Sprout Social.
Yep.
You can come work at Sprout Social, and I guarantee you that you can have a family of three and live.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
They have the best people. They're active people. Campaigns like that as well.
They do. Yep.
That's why they have good people, not because they nickel and dime and they have a free tennis table.
And we've done some research, and I think the most interesting nugget that came out of it was, it's all these perks, there's benefits that are geared at families, but ultimately the thing people really care about is the respect to use those benefits,
yeah,
to live your life, to be, we call it parenting out loud, like,
yep,
being able to talk about your kids at work and not feel like you're going to be dinged in a performance, yep, review because you're not committed enough to your job.
Yep.
And so it's like this big thing, respect, right? Which you can quantify and you can link back to ROI. And it is the more you give, the more you're going to get, right? Yeah. And I think it's just this really old school structure of clocking in, clocking out.
Suffer in silence.
Yes, suffering in silence, hiding your children, like hiding you have a personal life at all, hiding you have anything going on.
I will say there should be a quota though.
Yeah.
Like the individual who shows up and starts like breaking the photos out immediately, like I think that they should be fired.
You get a 2-month grace period for pictures, and then you get made one
a
month.
It's a per picture.
Okay.
I think you get an allotment of photo time that you can be like, hey, look.
The best thing I ever did was start a private Instagram for my kid photos that my mom and dad could follow. Yep.
We just do the shared album, but yeah, that's you can do
that's
that
too. It. Nobody else needs to see it.
Yeah,
nobody cares as much as we do, but that's okay.
I honestly think things are so bad that the word that comes to mind is dignity.
Oh.
And if you really want to like put it in perspective for anyone listening to this, the only other time that we talk about dignity is in death.
Yes.
We only talk about dignity when we're talking about end of life care.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that we treat the same end of life as the beginning of life.
Mm-hmm.
There is zero dignity.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be coming in and just be like, well, it's assumed that you didn't sleep. Ha 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 ha. Like, that's not helping me. I'm more pissed off now than I was before we started.
Or that people acted like you're on vacation.
Like, oh my God. How was your trip?
I have 2 kids, 5 and 1. And both times when I returned to work felt like, oh, thank God, I'm like on a break. Like, I mean, yeah, when I went back, yeah, both of my workplaces.
My wife just said to me the other day, she's like, I this sounds terrible. I almost wish that I had just gone back to school because it's that hard.
You can drink full cups of coffee. You can go to the bathroom by yourself. You have some sense
that.
Of yourself. You know,
imagine being able to wash your face in the morning.
Yeah.
How wonderful that could be.
And if you can go back to a workplace that's supportive, that is the feeling you got.
Right?
Because you're like, let me hand my kid off to a professional who I trust and care about. Let me go to work, do what I do. And when I'm on there. When I'm home, I'm on there. And being able to have that division and have that be respected, I think is the secret sauce. It seems to be very hard for companies to get right.
What can companies do now to start making those changes?
Yeah, so we find that there's this optimal mix of perks and benefits, the things that we were talking about earlier. And that's different for every company. But ultimately, you should get to the core insights through, you know, interviews and qualitative and quantitative research, which is one of the products that we work with, to really understand, like, what do your employees who are working parents really care about? You know, like, what do they really actually care about? And at what level should you invest in that to ensure that your business can continue to drive forward? And so that's a way, I think that's really the first way. So, of course, we have all these programs of you can bring women back to work and the signal that you know, that program and that investment shows to other people in the business is that this is a place that's inclusive of caregivers and inclusive of parents and inclusive of all people, really. Because once you start showing that inclusion and that respect for this segment who's in this acute period of their life, that reverberates to the entire population that's within your company, right? Yep. It's showing this really strong signal of, hey, we care about working parents, and this is all the ways that we're tangibly doing something about it. And it becomes less of this lip service around, oh, yeah, we care about gender diversity,
sure,
but we're not actually doing anything to retain the
quota.
Women. It's like we've hit X percentage, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you actually investing in and doing from a company culture? Because you can hire a ton of women. You can hire a ton of working parents. You can launch all these programs, but like ultimately without the respect and like the real continued investment in that, you're still going to end up not seeing the full impact, right?
Totally.
And those people are still going to feel a little bit, is this the place for me? Now you talk to people at Sprout Social or, you know, some of these really leading, you know, LinkedIn's another good example.
They really should be. Let's hope they're so. In that business.
Yeah, right. You know, we have some great clients that we work with. I mean, JLL is one of our biggest clients here. They hire a ton of women with flexible schedules, remote work, really high level stuff. And they get great talent because they're able to bring people into this inclusive culture, give them challenging work, and then not, you know, not be sweating the small stuff of like, we're here at 8:30 or we're here at 8:50. Like, yeah. I mean, nobody wants to be dealing with that. Like,
no, that is dead last on my list of shit to do today.
I mean, it's just not.
I have said numerous times, it's probably why I have to own my own company instead of work for someone, is that like, I give zero fucks about you and your concern about me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Not my problem.
Yeah.
I got a lot of things to deal with right now that isn't it.
Yeah. Well, and let's treat people like grownups, right?
So right.
Like, if you're in a company and you truly can't imagine a structure where they have autonomy over their schedule or the ability to leave early on some days without asking permission, like, what is the impetus for that? Like, what is the fear that's holding you back from this, like, truly empowered workforce? And a lot of that's, like, a deeper-seated issue.
I think people should shame the companies that say that they're really, like, in this, but then they don't. Like, you should be called out.
Yeah.
I like, mean, that's total bullshit.
We find that, too. We find that, too, where it's, like, it sounds good to say we have flexibility.
You have to say it.
But then we don't,
have
it. And then we, you know, people get in and they're like, but this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And this isn't compatible with my life. It'd be like being made an offer for a certain salary and then be like, actually, you're going
to
get half.
Well, you have to earn it, though.
Yeah, sorry. Like,
it's all an earn out.
Kind of a tenure thing. Like, sorry. But we see that the companies that really invest are getting it back in spades, right? Because you're keeping these people in their seats.
Well, I mean, what is the training cost? The retraining cost.
Oh, the replacement. When someone, the retraining.
It's got to be at least a third of that person's salary.
More. I mean, I think more.
Even
depending
more.
On the level, yeah. It can be more. And not quantifying that loss and that internal calculation, I think is.
But we question missed sales in our CRM. Right. We put that on the bottom line and judge you for it, but we don't judge the fact of like, here's actual dollars pissed away because we're stupid.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like beyond just like having a more or a less myopic view, right? Yeah. On your building products, you're scaling companies. You need these diverse viewpoints, right? You can see products that are built by a bunch of 22-year-olds who don't have a lot of life experience. And then it's like, okay, well, did no one sanity check that? Like, you could sanity check that with.
So I think I have my own beliefs in this, and yours are going to be far more insightful than mine on this. There are a lot of early stage companies that don't have the infrastructure yet to be able to support and pay for. They only have a staff of 7 or 10 or 12. I think of Geobit and John Rinaldi from Geobit a lot in this. He was very helpful to me when he found out that we were having a baby. He sent us gifts and was very helpful. Sent us a DVD. They'll teach me how to not be me. And and so I think of a company that doesn't, they have, you know, I know that their chief marketing person has several kids. Mm-hmm. And they don't maybe have the financial means at this current juncture to support all of the mechanisms.
Yeah.
What can early stage companies do to just start the process and be able to be helpful, even if it's just minimal? Because I really believe that even if you're not able to deliver mm-hmm. what you want to deliver, but it's very clear financially, we're just not able to.
Yeah.
But my intentions are there. We will develop into that. That is part of my roadmap. That's not just lip service. I think you can get great people by just doing random things that are just helpful. What are some of the things that early stage companies can do?
Yeah, and so it's my personal story is interesting in that I joined the Mom Project seed round. So no funding, you know, really to date. I was 8 months pregnant. They paid my maternity leave, 8 weeks fully paid. And to me, I mean, they were very early stage at that point. To me, I was like, this is, I mean, obviously we're walking the walk and, you know, it's an important piece.
For that one, it definitely is
the Mom Project. If you can't get hired pregnant at the Mom Project,
that's not good.
It's not, we don't have any hope for anyone. but then I was thinking through like, okay, if this weren't a possibility or you didn't even have an A round in the future, like what are things that we can do? And so you could look at things like childcare stipend, you know, things that are not, it would just defray the cost and really show a value for that parent coming back to work. Going back to your other example about the breast milk and the shipping and the traveling, like any mom that's
milk
coming,
Milk Stork.
Yes, we love Milk Stork.
I was just going to say, I do my research.
It's the Mom Project. It's, you only pay for it if you have a mom who's nursing and traveling. So it's not like something you just have to pay out for everyone, right? It's a very specific need that's met. But you're ultimately coming up with a, I like to call it the mom stack. So you've got your tech stack and that's like how you operate your business. You have the mom stack or the working parent stack. Like what are all these solutions that you can put in place that ultimately solve or ease the pain for some of these things. So some of it might be a nursing room, but ultimately it's not just about the nursing room. It's about creating a culture that supports that mom being able to go into that nursing room and actually use it. So yep. What we find is like, oh yeah, my company has this like amazing suite of nursing rooms, but no one can use it because we're back to back to back all day long and our bosses don't understand that we need to like have a little bit of buffer.
Yeah.
And so it's creating the perks and then creating the culture around it that supports those people using those perks.
You can't just do it on the phone, by the way. Yes. It's not like the little pump machine just and you're on the call.
About that.
Like,
does someone have a cat at their? I'm like, okay, I'm gonna mute.
I think like despite the fact that I'm probably not really that great a dad yet. I want to be, but I don't know if I'll get there.
Sounds like you are. You're worried about the right thing.
I'm worried. Yeah, I'm worried about it. I'm aware of the problem. I was on a call yesterday with somebody, and I was like, I'm just going to tell you on the call. I am trying to put my baby to sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm on the call. She's not going to sleep, so she's crying. You're just going to... I'll mute when I can, but like, that's life.
Just play through. It's just life.
Deal.
Life can be inconvenient, right? And it's the same with... pregnancy can be inconvenient for an employer, right? It's inconvenient for the mom.
Yep.
It's inconvenient for everyone, right? Ultimately, like that postpartum period, that recovery period, people are going to have inconvenient times in their lives, right? So like, let's just get through it. Play through.
We keep trying to pretend that they don't exist
pretend. Like
this country is great at ignoring problems.
If we just don't talk about it, then we don't have to solve for it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, it's really looking at, I think it's just so much about that respect, right? Like, okay, cool, your kid is crying, like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
We'll just deal with it. It's just work. Like, we'll get through it, or I'll send you an email, or we'll figure it out, right? As opposed to, like, trying to ram this unnecessary structure in while people are going through it. You're going through a very acute period of having a baby. Like, that first 3 months is wild.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law refers to it as, like, the dark period. It's just like you come out of it, you're like... What happened to me? Like, I have no idea what it did for 3 months.
Yeah.
It does get a lot better.
All right. Well, I
appreciate
that.
It really does.
I want to end on the note with you on sort of the personal part of this. Yes. It's obviously, you know, you have a kid and all that, but like, what is it about this that makes it so easy for you to be passionate?
It's the moms. I mean, I talk to moms every day. I hear from moms via email. I hear from them on LinkedIn. I hear from them on social. The demand for a solution and a champion for working moms and working parents really is so vast. Like the opportunity is, and it's something that's close to my heart. I'm obviously a working mom, but just to see this groundswell of traction, but also their willingness and aspirations to help each other, right? So we get moms almost every day I get emails. I want to volunteer to help the mom project. Like, how do I mentor someone? How do I help someone get a job? Like, people are very, because once you're in it and you become a working parent, you're like, wow, this is so much harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
And those support structures, whether you're not getting them at work or your family is not close by. And so it's ultimately like this connectedness that I think the mom project mission embodies. And it's more than just, hey, we help companies hire great women. The secondary thing and the thing I'm really passionate about is, wow, like these moms, and you know, we have a slogan and it's all moms work, because even if you're staying at home, that shit is hard work, right? Like this is like, there is no mommy wars. We think the mommy wars is a myth. Extremists on both sides. But I stay very passionate about our ability to solve this at a company level and then also at a policy level, right? So once we can start getting these big players in better shape, supporting working parents, we can start advocating at a higher level that this problem starts to get better, because it's we're currently in a place that's like all a crisis for working parents. So
well said. Other than just emailing you every day, how do people get involved, whether they want to be part of it, use it, companies get in touch? How do people who want to volunteer, how do they get involved with the Mom Project?
Yeah, so it's themomproject.com. If you're a mom or you're a working parent, you can just sign up for a profile that's going to allow you to access all of the content and jobs and be able to sort of What I think is the most powerful is you set the terms, right? So you're like, only so many jobs that are 20 hours a week. Like, that's what I can do right now. No commute, whatever it might be. For companies, we work with companies of all sizes. So one CEO all the way up to, you know, the biggest Fortune 500 companies. They can also just come and express interest in, hey, I want to like build a returnship program. I want to understand how I give better paid leave now, but now all my people are out for 4 months. How do I backfill for them? So we do a lot of customized paternity ship programs. But they can just come to themomproject.com and learn more.
Very cool. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Of course. You can learn about upcoming investment opportunities. You can download and listen to past podcast episodes. And of course, you can follow us at social at Technori or follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.